Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. Hey.
Good morning.
What do you want me to say here? Good morning. It's Monday, and yes, it's a President's Day holiday. There would a long time ago, back in my era, I feel like when I'm so old when I say that, there would have been a Lincoln's birthday, then there would have been a Washington's birthday. And with me this morning is my one and only dear friend from high school, living in Reading, actually, when I say my one and only dear friend, my high school friend, is Eric Woodstrom, who we know is our Golden Valley senior commercial banker, but most of all, just a super good friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
How was your weekend?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Anything special?
Nothing special. Just
weeding, gardening.
Beautiful weekend. Did some work around the house.
Oh, there you go.
Spent some time with my grandson.
We need details. Yeah. Yes. So your grandson, what'd you guys do? Play. All right.
He's a year and a half old, so it's perfect.
Oh man. Watch that little being grow.
Yep. Watch him grow. Run
minute
around.
By minute.
Yep, driving his mom nuts, our daughter. So, but it's fun. We had a great weekend.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. And welcome to the show, Eric. Eric and asked him if he would co-host with me this morning because Carl is on assignment, as many of you know, and he will be back tomorrow morning, bright, shiny, and early at the 7 a.m. hour and to carry out the rest of the week. It is the 21st. Again, this is President's Day. Some people, as from what I understand, will be not going to take their kids to school today because I'm not really sure, but I guess there's different districts and we'll find that out later on with our guests. But right now, we want to talk about, we're going to do the forecast and we're going to say hello to Ashley who's at the helm. First of all, we have chance of showers today with a high of 57 and overnight lows of 33. Tuesday calls for chance of showers with a high of 55, overnight lows of 31. And Wednesday will be sunny with a high of 57. Thursday, sunny 60. Friday, 67. Of course, our nights look they're almost in some of the freezing temperatures. So we know that we've been warned if we've been watching anything about if you have fruit trees or things that are budding to make sure that maybe you cover them and for areas of frost and that kind of thing. There will be a freeze watch in effect from February 23rd until February 25th as well. That is from according to the National Weather Service. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning. Happy National Sticky Bun Day.
Sticky Bun!
Nice.
And for the record, Travis has a daughter who's in elementary, almost middle school, and she has the week off.
Oh. What, you know, are they going to go to the Hilton? Do they get Hilton awards for these days that are, I just don't get it. And teachers, remember we used to have like a half day that would happen at Kate, like twice a year maybe?
Right.
Now it's like 3 and 4 days and, yeah. I don't know. It's like I think that almost like let's go on trips.
Many of the districts have this week off, and then they'll have a spring break coming up in 6 weeks or 7 weeks.
Ah, you know,
another week.
Now, when we went to school, it feels like when I went to school, I had to walk for a mile of snow. Well, my mom really did, but and wasn't uphill, but was flat because she was from Iowa. But we again. I don't want to chew up the time like that, but we want to first of all do shout out to our sponsors, and one would be Shasta Regional Medical Center. Of course, they are rated, highly rated in national polls as far as being one of the most outstanding cardiovascular hospitals. So Shasta Regional Medical Center always brings us the news. All right, with us this morning, we have Brian Caples, who is running for Shasta County Superintendent for Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about you in a minute, and we also have Arthur Gorman, who is here to talk about advocating and being involved with adverse child experiences. So thank you for joining us as well.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's talk about this body of work this morning in this next 30 minutes here on KCNR. And this is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, also online at KCNR1460.com. You are welcome to call in at 530 605-4567. If there's something that you feel like you want to ask one of our guests this morning, we want to make sure that this is community radio for our community, and it's through our sponsors that we are able to be here on the air. We do not take government money. This is from our beautiful sponsors, and thank you for being so supportive as well. So let's go with you, Brian. You are running for superintendent of the Shasta County Schools. Let's talk a little bit about you and why you and Arthur are here this morning.
Great, thank you. Well, my name's Brian Caples. I've been an educator for the past 30 years or so. Started my career as a classroom aide, was a substitute teacher, a classroom teacher, an assistant principal, a principal, and then for 13 years I spent my career working as a school district superintendent. And seen a lot of things going on in our schools over the last couple years especially that I think concern not only myself, but concern members of our community, and certainly those in Shasta County. So that's one of the reasons why I'm running, because I'm concerned about the things that I see and the things that are going on. One of the things that I really want to focus on as your next superintendent of schools is something called adverse childhood experiences. Now, when I was a child, my father passed away when I was 9 years old. Had a profound effect on me.
Mm.
Losing a father at a young age or a parent at a young age really has a psychological problems. I don't remember exactly, because we're talking 1977, so mm-hmm. 45 years ago. But I'm sure I went through a bout of depression.
Right.
I'm sure I suffered anxiety from it. I didn't do well in school right after that for the next year or so. I know I didn't do well in school. I didn't care about it.
People, I don't think in those days, and I'm still not sure if they do today, but maybe there's a little bit more sympathy with trauma. But even divorce is there. It's super traumatic. And at a certain time, divorce was hush hush. People don't know how to talk about, like you were saying, the death of a sibling. Somebody, I remember in high school, we had somebody who drowned in the back of Rio. We couldn't, he just gone for a while, but I don't know if he ever really came back from that. But we didn't know, have the tools of how to talk.
It.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, agreed. It wasn't really spoken about. We didn't talk about it at all. That's how we dealt with it. There was no counseling. There was no, you know, and I'm not blaming anyone. I'm certainly not blaming my mother.
Just the times.
Yeah, it's just the way you sucked it up and you dealt with it. But it even has an effect on me as an adult. You know, I can remember when I was younger, you know, praying to God, saying, Lord, if you just, please just let me live long enough so that I could see my kids actually grow up.
Right.
You know, to reach adulthood so that they would actually remember me. And, we're at that time now because all my kids are adults. So now I'm sorry I used to say that now. But it had a tremendous impact on me. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about it and talk to the people of Shasta County about it is because there's a certain population that the county superintendent of schools oversees. They oversee all of the schools in the county for fiscal responsibility, academic improvement and progress. But one of the things that they do is they directly serve a population of students, our court and community school kids, our Native American students, special education students. These kids and these students have a higher number of ACE scores than certainly my children did or your children did probably.
And ACE meaning?
Adverse childhood experience.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that we throw that word around, or that, what would you call that, the abbreviation, or what's the terminology for ACE?
That, we would call it ACEs or an ACE.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Adverse childhood experience.
Or if there are actually ACE scores and different things like that.
Thank you for bringing that up. For each adverse childhood experience you would have or suffer from, you would get 1 point, mm-hmm. right? Some people have one, some people have three, some of our kids have 12.
Have multiple.
So the higher your A score, the more prescriptive need for having counseling services, for other services that can help you get through those, help you learn how to deal with them. And not suffer any more of them in the future, hopefully. One of my concerns is that population of students with the County Office of Education, their graduation rates is a big indicator of success. Well, over the last year, that population of students that the county serves, their graduation rate went down almost 20%. So we're not talking 2% or 10%, almost 20%. So almost one out of five students that should have graduated did not graduate. And again, these are the kids that have a high number of adverse childhood experiences. So that concerns me. That concerns me. The county office is also using data from 2012. That was the last time a big study has been done or completed to look at the populations of students with adverse childhood experiences in Shasta County. So one of my concerns is that I feel like they haven't taken it seriously because they haven't even completed their own study to figure out how those numbers have changed.
Let's take a break on that. And let's talk about the, we do have time with our gentlemen this morning that are here, which is Brian Caples, and we're going to get to Arthur Gorman in a minute. We're talking about Shasta County, ACE. Brian is running for superintendent of schools. Arthur is very involved with the ACE, Adverse Child Experiences, and we're going to be talking about that. I'm here with Eric Woodstrom. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Redding, California, 222-2750. When we come back from the break, we've got more great topic here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Your Talk Radio. This is KCNR1460.com, online as well.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to KCNR on a Monday morning show. This is Linda Bach. Good morning, 7:20 in the morning. With me is Eric Woodstrom, who is the senior commercial banker for Golden Valley Bank and my dear friend for, 40 years?
Something like that.
Something
good
like
morning.
That.
Good to be here, Linda.
All right, we've got a great show this morning with some really great guests. And Ashley, did you want to see something about Four Winds Jewelry really quickly?
Oh, well, I am headed back there today. They're doing a bunch of repair on my stuff. My great-grandfather's watch, I spent a couple of years taking care of him.
Right.
Last couple of years. And I got his watch as a thank you from the family. And it cracked. And so they're repairing. They're the people I trust to repair
right.
something that's sentimental to me.
Absolutely. It's very sentimental. And they can take, actually, they got the probably the only real watch repair person that can take it down to the bones and build it back up. That's Four Winds Jewelry. Okay, Quick and Clean Car Wash brings you this segment. Spring on over savings at Quick and Clean. Corner of Market in Eureka. I went there
just
Sunday.
Down the street,
yeah, they really do a good drive-through wash. I mean, it's really a good quality, and I like the rainbow wax. So you can buy 5 card coupons and get 1 for free, or buy 10 and get 3 free with Quick and Clean. With us this morning, if you're just waking up and joining us, is Brian Caples, who is running for the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools, and Arthur Gorman, who is here to talk about ACE, Adverse Child Experiences, and, of course, the coalition here would be schools and what happens with trauma and how we're dealing with it now. And these gentlemen have talked about the fact that the last study that was taken was in 2012, and the scores here, particularly in Shasta County for ACE, are higher than many other counties. So Eric, at the break is when always the good
break.
Thick juice
That's
happens,
right.
And we're saying don't sprinkle it too
it.
Much.
We talked about adverse childhood experiences, and I asked Arthur, and maybe you could repeat it for our listeners, you know, what's the current structure to measure and to track and to make change for adverse childhood experiences?
So what they've done with the study is they asked roughly around 10 questions, and based on each question, if you answer, it's a positive answer, meaning that you've experienced that, then you get a score. So each of those ends up being a score, and they have found if you had 4 or more adverse childhood experiences, your risk of stroke, heart disease, asthma, COPD, obesity, drug addiction have all increased. And the reason why that happens is in the medical community, we understand it a little bit differently than maybe the education. So if we experience stress or trauma in our life, it's some of it's supposed to be good. So some of it's we're going to play a sport, or some of it's we're going to do a debate. Right? Some of it is we're going to be in competition. So our body was designed to, when we enter a state of stress, it releases cortisol so we can have strength and energy. We dump glucagon from our liver so we can have increased sugar and energy to burn. We decrease blood flow to our bladder and our brain. One, so that we don't have to go to the bathroom while we're playing basketball. The other one is so that our frontal cortex, that sense of reasoning things out, goes away so that we're able to fight or play or focus intensely on what we're doing. So moments of that is good for us when we're doing that. It's actually really great. But what happens with these adverse outcomes is the children or the people, now adults, what they experience, it's on a level of continuously happening all day. So they usually give the example of a child that's in a bad situation, whether their parent is addicted to drugs, maybe they neglect the child, maybe they abuse the child. So when the child comes home, they say that parent is, for example, would be like a bear coming into your house. and you're going to be scared the whole time you're there, and your stress level is going to be high every day that you're home. So most of your life is spent at home. So when those things happen, the increased cortisol, also increased sugar levels, what it does to your body is it increases the cortisol, meaning that you might have poor impulse control, and that you might eat more. You might, as a little kid, you might eat more, which causes childhood obesity. Your sugar levels are higher. It causes plaque to form on your epithelial cells of your skin, of your lining of your arteries. And so you're just at increased risk of all these cardiovascular events.
I'm not interrupting you, but I want our listeners to know that you were a nurse, or correct, are a nurse.
I am a nurse.
Will,
yeah,
be a nurse.
You,
yes,
a nurse. So yeah,
currently
started
a nurse. So that you're,
okay,
you're talking about a terminology here,
right,
that I find fascinating about how physically, on a structural level of your body and the chemicals, and how you grow or you don't grow, how that affects your immunity, affects,
right,
how you grow as an,
exactly,
individual. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so as that affects your body, you know, your immunity goes down, your stress levels are up, your ability to reason goes down, your processes in your brain where you're creating new synapses where you can learn more information, you have tools to overcome stressful situations. So all those things on the, when you're at a high stress level go down. And so you're prone to sickness, illness, mental disease. You don't develop the tools that you need to succeed and go get over stress and trauma. So what that then goes on to, it past your body. Say you're now a child in the classroom and you have no ability to cope, no coping mechanisms because you're now at the school. So the little kindergartner sitting in class, a child passes their desk. They might think that the bear is passing their desk or the parent that's abusing them passes their desk, and their initial reaction is to fight or flight. So they're either going to hide or they're going to push the child, and the teacher is going to react in either, oh, you just pushed a child, I need to do something about that. So they're already used to negative consequences at home, and it just, the cycle continues. So the school doesn't become a safe place. So the thing that we are trying to do with these adverse childhood experiences, when we know the child has a high A score, is we already have training in the school for adverse childhood experiences, the ACEs. They're training the teachers to make a caring, nurturing environment for when the child is away from the toxic environment at home, they call it toxic stress, that they have a safe place. So that stress response that they're having, it gets turned off. And the longer it's turned off, the less chances of physical and mental issues you'll have as an adult.
Well, how does one, and Eric and I, you know, I didn't, were you started to say something, ask a question? Should you go first? How does one, okay, unless the child comes forward, how does one...
How do you identify?
How do you identify? Because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You,
right,
just are dealing on a daily basis to survive.
So, yeah. So a lot of times in the medical community and in education, they have different protocols that they follow. So in the hospital, we always ask about abuse in the household when they're admitted to the hospital. If they say yes, that would be one. If there's also thoughts of suicide, that would be two. So we already are thinking, so that's already two ACEs that the person has. In the education system, they have other things when the child is having attitudes or behaviors that are not appropriate for the classroom. The teachers have been trained to look at adverse childhood experiences and implement that in the classroom. They have this knowledge already. So when they sit down with the child, they call the parents. And right now there isn't a process, and what I'd like to have is like a protocol that if the child has a behavioral outburst in the school, or maybe we have a patient in the hospital that is having a behavioral outburst, we would go through the criteria for ACEs, and then we would see where they meet those ACEs, and then we could help them, like at our hospital, we have spiritual care, we could have someone come in, talk to them about the tools that they could use, like cognitive behavioral therapy, exercise, increased sleep, going out in nature, meditation. These all are all things that decrease that. So in the school, they have IEP meetings that they would escalate to. And during that time, the teacher could gather data as far as what the ACEs are, see what their score is, talk to the school psychologist, and then they could really, as a community level, be talking with the families and giving them the tools to be able to deal with these coping mechanisms.
Excellent.
All right. It's 7:30, and it's now time for a 7:30 break.
Absolutely, here on KCNR. We'll pick this up after the shout out to Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, located at 273 Jeff at Crackmaster. It's a veteran-owned business. He can fix a chip or crack up to 26 inches. You know that we're going to be getting into cold weather. Then do we put on the heater, and then it's air conditioning. We put on the air conditioning. These are the things that increase and decrease your glass, which will help that crack grow. So if you're just hanging out, not thinking it's a big deal, it could become a big deal. And you don't want that to happen on the freeway when you're driving to mom's house or somebody's house or anywhere. So give Jeff at Crackmaster Windshield and Repair on 273 a call. A call. We'll be right back here on KCNR.
I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. No offense to you, don't waste your time.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Nigel.
And James.
How are you doing, James?
I'm good.
Hey, you want to tell everybody who's going to be our guest on the next show?
We are going to have Donna Jamian and Matthew Giles, and we are going to be talking about the new technology sweeping the world, 3D printing for homes.
Homes.
Yep.
Here in Redding, too.
Yes, first in California, right here in Redding.
I can't wait. So listen to the show Wednesday evening, 6 to 7. Nigel and James.
All right.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to our morning show here on KCNR. This is Linda Bott along with Eric Woodstrom.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And we've got a wonderful, happy President's Day. Let's not forget that they're combining them now with Lincoln and Washington. But I don't even know if people understand that today is really about honoring our former presidents. I wonder if they're going to put the flags up. Usually the Boy Scouts line the flags up. Now, I know that they do that on Memorial Day and 4th of July, but I don't know if they do that on President's Day. But anyway, with us this morning, again, we've got Arthur Gorman, who is running for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. And Arthur...
Brian Caples.
Brian Caples. I put those in the wrong categories. And Arthur Gorman, who is with Adverse Child Experiences, ACE. And online, we were looking at one of the websites... that you had recommended, and that is called?
Hope Rising.
Hope Rising. And you recently got a grant.
So Shasta County got a grant in 2016 so that they were going to do data on a local level. So in 2012, they did data. Most of it was out of Kaiser, and so they correlated the data with poverty rates out of other places. And so the more economic hardship and poverty rates, the higher the ACE scores. But people with Kaiser insurance are usually middle class type individuals and not lower class individuals. So you could just tell if someone that had middle class had a high ACE score, then someone with poverty might have a higher one based on the criteria for ACEs.
Okay.
And then why don't you kind of pull this together? You know, you've talked to us a little bit about the causes and the effect of ACEs. And then what do we have locally? We have the one organization we just talked about, but what do we have locally to help track and monitor and then provide service?
So what we have in Shasta County is Shasta County Public Health Office, and yep. HHS is supposed to be working with families and communities to bring down our ACE scores. California level, the Surgeon General, Dr. Birx Harris, has made a campaign to decrease ACEs in the next generation, in the next 4 years. So there's a lot of grants available through Hope Rising. They have the access to those grants where superintendents like Brian Caples could get a grant for us locally so we can go over local data. Other places can have data as well, like Public Health has already had a $50,000 grant back in 2016 to give us numbers. I've called several times, but I haven't gotten an update. They said they outsourced it to a third party. And we don't have those numbers yet.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Crazy.
So, Brian, let's talk about your running. What does that look like for you? And what do you want to get across to our listeners this morning about you and your position and when one votes, et cetera?
Sure, sure.
Inspire us.
Well, I don't know if I can do that, but I can sure talk for 30 minutes straight. The one of the reasons why, I mean, initially, I'm basically semi-retired. You know, I've worked in the education field for 30 years, spent some time in the military when I was younger. So I'm getting to an age where, you know, I'm, you know, thinking about going out to pasture. With everything that's going on in our school systems, you know, the masking of students, the testing of students and teachers, who aren't sick, mind you, that still need to test to see if they've got the flu. Those things concern me. You know, we're firing teachers. Some of our local school districts are firing teachers and aides and wonderful workers that will refuse on principle to either not mask, to not test, or to not get the vaccination. I'm a believer in freedom. I like all my freedoms. In fact, I always tell people I'd like a few more. Right, and I don't plan on giving any of them up. So one of the reasons why I decided to run for office is simply due to that. You know, what's happening in our schools is not right. Masking our children just created one more adverse childhood experience for every single child that has to mask every day. The health effects that come from that. You know, we all know. Breathing in your own carbon dioxide, the bacteria. No one, those masks are made, and Arthur's the expert right on this, not me, but it's common sense. Those masks are made for single use. When you go to the hospital and a nurse or a doctor puts one of those on, they put it on, they take it off, and they dispose of it. They don't stick it back in their pocket and use it again. That just, that doesn't even make sense to me. So we're asking kids to do that all day. We're asking teachers to do that all day. So that's really one of the main reasons that I decided to run. Because what we have is leadership in our schools and in our school district and at the county level with our current superintendent that is refusing to do what I believe is right for our kids.
Let me ask you something, though, and this is why I say this, because we've got the Civic and we've got the Cascade and we have many places that you had to mask, and that's because of a California grant. So when you have Newsom telling you that you have to have a mask mandate, and they're afraid to not get government or California funding, and that's why they followed it.
Right, right. No, I agree. Well, I got news for you. I don't answer to Gavin Newsom, right, in any way, shape, or form.
But the masking, my question is, yeah, for you, and you can understand, I understand you as an individual and your freedom, and I understand 100%. But if you were in charge and it came down to you mask, but you didn't mask, so you're not going to get the grant. That's where people were feeling their hands were tied.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. How much money would you take to give up any one of your freedoms? $500,000, $100,000, $1 million? There's no amount of money in this world that I would give up my freedom for. I'd rather live under a tree out at Shasta Lake than give up any of my freedoms. So I'm not going to give those up for amount of money. That's blood money, right? It doesn't even make sense to me. Oh, here's $6 million. Give up all your freedom. No, thank you.
Those were additional funds.
Right. Those are above and beyond what we already get or what the school districts already get. Absolutely. I don't want the money. No, thank you. Because what's happened with that money, you can go on. See, most people don't realize this, but I know how to find the information. The average citizen or the average mother or father doesn't know where to go to find information. They've got plans for how they've spent that money. Each one of your school districts has a plan. It has to be approved by their school board. It's on their website or it's somewhere hidden in there that you can find it. I know how to find those. So what a lot of your school districts have done, they've replaced, they've spent money to replace all their computers in their school district. Well, mind you, these computers oftentimes are only 2 or 3 years old at the most anyways. So you're spending millions of dollars to replace equipment that doesn't need to be replaced. Meanwhile, I've got friends that are teachers that can't get pencils for their students. They can't get crayons for their kindergarten students. So it just doesn't make sense. That money is as far as I'm concerned, is ill-gotten money. You give up your freedoms and we'll give you money to buy stuff that you don't need. Right? Because, and the government, people don't realize this either. When you get money from the government for these grants, you have to spend it within a certain amount of time. So oftentimes a lot of it gets wasted. So there's a lot of grants out there that I don't want or I don't need. I'm not going to waste taxpayers' money just to get money, right? Just to start a program that we don't need. Oftentimes what will happen is, let's just say you get a $1 million grant for any particular project, right? The state loves to give out grants. Well, there's always strings attached to that. So what happens is, let's say the County Office of Education gets a grant for $1 million for Project X. Well, first thing they do is go hire an administrator for, $140,000 a year. That administrator needs 2 or 3 assistants to help them run that program. So there's another few hundred thousand. By the time you have add up all of the expenses incurred to implement that program, travel, training, et cetera, by the time it gets down to the bare bones, your kids are maybe getting 10% of that money. Right, it just doesn't make sense. So what I say is, let's make sure that let's flip it, let's reverse it. Let's make sure that those kids get direct services, some of the direct services that Arthur was just talking about earlier, and let's flip it. Let's make sure that those kids get 90% of that money, and that 10% of that goes to administration. That's how your government works. Let's not kid ourselves. Education is an extension of the government in California. One out of every $3. You're taxed for, one out of every $3 in California goes to K-12 education. And I'm not even talking higher education. Forget any health and human services, et cetera. But one out of every $3 goes to that. So what your government has done in California especially has just used that as a forum to initiate and to push their mandates and their motivations. Because this is just the tip of the iceberg. You've got things like critical race theory, where they're teaching our kids that, you know, because my great-grandfather was white and he lived in the South, that he was a racist, right? They're pushing these things right now. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
All right. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Siskiyou Transport, SST Oil, the 50th plus anniversary. This is where you can get your monitor heater, your Toyo heater, and your Toyo water heater. We use our SST Oil card for gas when we drive anywhere throughout the United States. Call today to schedule an appointment. To find out how you can get that card, keep your money local. 241-1167. This is Linda Bott along with Eric Woodstrom. You are listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, also online at KCNR1460.com. We're talking to Brian Caples this morning along with Arthur Gorman. We'll be back after these messages. It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Their grand opening is Saturday, February 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Don't miss their grand opening, February 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., in the Shasta Gateway Center.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Heard the silent cries. Who stepped in to wipe the tears from the children's eyes? For those who gave us.
Good morning and welcome back to the last segment of this particular part of our morning show here on KCNR. This is Linda Bott. Carl is on assignment and with me this morning is my good friend Eric Woodstrom, who is the senior commercial banker at Golden Valley Bank.
Good morning, Linda.
Good
morning.
Wonderful
winter morning.
Winter morning, that's right. It's currently 40 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have, we'll do more of an forecast here in a minute, but we do have a 30% chance of showers today with our high of 57, overnight lows of 33. Let's go back to Brian Caples and Arthur Gorman, who are with us this morning. Brian is running for superintendent for Shasta County Schools. When did you throw your hat in the ring?
Oh, it's probably been 6 or 7 weeks.
Okay.
A month or two.
How many meetings have you gone to so far?
Hundreds.
Okay.
It's now
running as like saying, this is my next quest.
Right, right. So, let's just say a minimum of a few a day.
Okay.
All day, every day, and most nights. Have met wonderful people, wonderful people. And what we really want is just to be free to make our own decisions. If you want to wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. If you want to be tested even when you're not sick, we'll test yourself. If you want to get the vaccination. But I don't want to force anybody to do it. I'm not doing some of those things. I'm just simply not doing it. I'm a free man. Right. I nobody's going to tell me. Gavin Newsom or the mayor of Chicago is not going to tell me what to do. And they're not going to tell our kids what to do. What's happened to our kids over these last couple of years is criminal. And that's one of the reasons why Arthur and I came today to talk about these adverse childhood experiences, because our government and our local school districts and our county office of education have perpetrated this on our children. Right. Wearing a mask every day when you're not sick. Some of these kids are fearful. Some of these kids will never take that mask off, even when they can. That's just not right. That's not true.
We've witnessed that.
It's scary.
On the street, they're wearing masks.
Right.
They're 20 feet away from entering a business or whatever, and they've got their masks on. And we're like, okay, well, so maybe they're sick. Maybe we don't know that they're sick, too. We got to think about that as well. And maybe they have an immune system, and they're worried because they've been in the fear.
Right.
Well, that's part of the problem, to be fearful. You don't want to live your life in fear, do you? Who wants to do that? Arthur talked about that earlier. We're not made to live in fear, right? We're made to create, to build, to encourage, to uplift each other, not to tear each other down with fear. And if you do that with a kid, guess what's going to happen? They're going to grow up and they're going to be an adult with those same tendencies. And that's what we have to stop. And that's why I'm so adamant about this. It has to stop, and it has to stop yesterday. Not tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. You started off talking about some other concerns at the Shasta Board of Education. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit, Brian, on what are the things that you see that need fixing or changing? Probably the list is probably long, but maybe pick one or two. We talked about funding.
Sure,
use of money, grant money.
I think one of my biggest concerns is the lack of leadership that I see in our current superintendent. I've heard her speak in interviews, and I think her exact words are close to it, paraphrasing obviously, but I'm a liaison of the state. So the last thing I want in an elected official is for them to consider themselves a liaison of the state. So you can see exactly what's happened. When you're a liaison of the state, what happens to our kids? When your position is working with children or as a leader over the county working with children, you keep the masks on them. You keep testing them, right? You're going to force teachers and kids to get immunizations and vaccinations. Mind you, that they don't want, right? That to me, that's criminal, right? Well, they say, well, you don't have to get it, but if you don't, you're going to be fired. You don't have to get it, but you can't work here. That's not American. That's not free. So that frustrates me. And I think one of the reasons why, we don't have the leadership that we deserve in that position is because my opponent doesn't have the experience for that position. She was never a principal. She was never a superintendent of a school district. She was promoted from teacher to curriculum director in the district office to curriculum director of the county office of education and then appointed to the position that she's in now. Well, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to say, well, something's wrong with that. Shouldn't our county superintendent of schools have experience as a school district superintendent and a principal? Right? I've got 20 years experience plus in just those positions alone. And it's really hard for me to fathom that someone could have that much power and that much control over our kids and not have any of the experience that they need. I'm not saying that she's not a nice person. I've never met her. In fact, she won't even return my phone calls or my texts or my emails. I'm not saying that she's a nice person. What I hear is that she is a wonderful person, that she is an unbelievably nice person. But I want the people in my life that are nice to be my butcher, my baker. You don't want your lawyer to be a nice person, right? You want your lawyer to be tough. The same thing I want with my leaders and the expectation that I have with my leaders that are supposed to be leading us in the right direction. I want them to be tough. I want them to stand up for the kids. I want them to be able to stand up for the community members. They don't listen to parents. If you've been to school board meetings lately, I've been going to tons of them. They don't listen to parents.
No, that's good. That's good. Okay, we just got a few minutes left. Do you want to have a closing thoughts, and then we'll end with Arthur and talking about some more of these ACE scores and what we can do to where we can go and find out information on both of you.
Sure, sure. Well, you can go to my campaign website at votebriancaples.com, VOTEBRYORIANCAPLES.com. And on there, there's links to, we're having a fundraiser next month, the 26th of March. We'd love to have anybody that wants to come out to that. I also do a meet and greet every Friday in a different location, a different coffee shop, and I'll be going all around the county. So we'll be able to hit different communities. This week, we'll be in, here in Redding. We'll be at Churn Creek, From the Hearth on Churn Creek, on the south side of Churn Creek. I think it's 2650 or 2560. I can't remember the exact.
South of Cypress.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we'll be there every Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. I'll be drinking my coffee. If you want to come by and say hi, we'd love to have you come by and say hi. Ask me any questions that you want. And, We'd love to see you there.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much. Now, Arthur, let's closing thoughts on how we can find more about adverse child experiences. We love the fact, do you give seminars? Because as being a nurse, you have seen the trauma and what we've been discussing this morning with children and stuff. How do we find out more about you and about the ACE program?
So with me, I'm always a servant, so I'm always helping other people. so I work mostly at the hospital. I work almost like 60 or 70 hours a week helping other people.
Thank you for being here this morning.
And then we also do a lot of nonprofit stuff. So I'm definitely a helper with anybody that needs anything. And I'd love to have a local symposium inviting Dr. Brooks Harris, our public health officials and HHS together in our county, maybe at the Civic, and do a lecture and educate the community on ACEs. I mean, this thing has been going on.
The exposure needs to be.
Right. And so when I talk to people about ACEs, even when I call public health and I ask about the ACEs and adverse childhood experiences, a lot of their employees don't know what I'm talking about. So I've had to get to the right people, even in our local community. So yes, definitely the education piece needs to be out there. The simplest and easiest way is education. The Hope Rising in Shasta County is an excellent resource for them to go to. There's also, Dr. Brooks Harris. She is the Surgeon General of California. She actually has a nonprofit foundation that works specifically on ACEs. You can find her TED Talk, which is over millions of views, where she does a great job on that. And the biggest thing that you can do, it's free. It's just free stuff that you can decrease your own stress level in your life. Doesn't matter who you are, what your ACE score is your sleep quality, balanced nutrition, physical activity, mindfulness, experiencing nature, and having supportive relationships around you.
Those are beautiful. Those are all, yeah. I'm in on all of the
absolutely.
Above.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you both gentlemen and for being here this morning. And we are going to be coming back with just a really powerful next hour as well, with some special guests. And we want to remind you about the Lincoln-Reagan dinner that's happening with Shasta County. That's this Friday. Our speaker of the evening is Jessica Patterson. She's a chairwoman of the California Republican Party at Riverview Golf and Country Club. Eric Woodstrom is with me this morning, who's the senior commercial banker for Golden Valley Bank. This is Linda Bott signing off here for the 7 o'clock hour on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is Your Talk Radio, and Ashley's at the helm. We'll be back after these messages.
This hour from townhall.com, I'm Rich Thomason. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov uses a meeting with a senior Mideast official to lash out at the West over Ukraine.
Lavrov, while speaking with his Syrian counterpart, says the West is trying to create an almost insurmountable confrontation with Russia as tensions continue to mount over Ukraine. Syria's foreign minister responded, saying the West encourages Ukraine in committing aggressions against Russia, and the campaign of hypocrisy, lies and misrepresentation is the same they had conducted against the Syrian regime. The meeting took place amid intensified shelling along the line of contact between Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed rebels in the country's east. I'm Charles Deledesma.
And Senator Ted Cruz blames President Biden for emboldening Putin by waiving Trump-era sanctions on Russia, giving a green light to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. The Texas Republican tells Fox News Sunday, that is why we have over 100,000 troops and Russian tanks on the border of Ukraine preparing to invade. That's why we're on the brink of war in Europe. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau catching flak for his crackdown on the Freedom Convoy truckers. The Heritage Foundation's Laura Rees says it's a blatant power grab.
The pandemic is on the decline, and yet we have tyrannical leaders around the globe grasping, trying to hang on to their last efforts at control using this pandemic.
Rees talking with the Salem Radio Network. Average daily COVID cases and hospitalizations are falling nationwide. Total confirmed cases reported Saturday barely exceeding 100,000, a sharp downturn from the 800,000-plus 5 weeks ago. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm cute kid number one.
And I'm cute kid number two.
And we have been forced.
You mean hired?
We have been hired
to tell you what direct lender FOMO is.
So let's say you buy a new home,
and maybe you use one of those big mortgage monsters,
or someone your realtor or friend recommends.
And then a few months later,
you hear us being forced.
Hired.
To tell you about our mortgage team's direct lender advantage.
And then you feel like you missed out.
Because you probably did miss out.
And that is direct lender FOMO.
It's Ryan, and our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This often allows us to get you a better rate on that new home mortgage, saving you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1335. Rec Animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson unveiling plans to eliminate all remaining COVID restrictions in England, including a requirement to quarantine.
The legal requirement to isolate after a positive test is expected to be scrapped. There's likely to be a winding down of universal free testing, and the focus will be continuing booster jabs for those at risk. Labour has accused the Prime Minister of working to a political timetable, but the Business Minister, Paul Scully, signalled a new era in the battle with the virus. The government's scientific advisers say the current measures and the public's own choices could be reducing the transmission of the virus by up to 45%, and so cases are likely to increase as a result of today's plan.
The BBC's Paul Fleming. Queen Elizabeth, who is 95, is tested positive for COVID-19, but she continues to suffer only minor cold-like symptoms, according to Buckingham Palace. News and analysis at townhall.com. Like everything else, cost of keeping a roof over your head is going up.
Rents continue to explode across the country, causing many to fall behind on payments or forced to dig deep into their savings. Experts say from December 2020 until December 2021, median rent climbed a mind-boggling 19.3% in the 50 largest metro areas of the country. Realtor.com says there are many factors, including a nationwide shortage of housing, extremely low rental vacancies, and unrelenting demand as young adults continue to enter the crowded market. Jason Walker reporting.
Tennis great Novak Djokovic says despite weeks away from competition and emotional distress over his recent detention and deportation from Australia, he feels he's at his peak as he now returns to touring. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning, and welcome to our 8 o'clock edition here on President's Day. Yes, that's right. We call it President's Week. We have, we're taking our former presidents, which really at one time, and Eric Wittstrom is at the helm with me today. Eric Wittstrom is the senior commercial banker for Golden Valley Bank. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And during 2021, as we go to 2022, excuse me, we're in 2022. Hello, I'm present. it's job, President's Linda. Day. Many people are on, they're off of work or their schools are out, but we are here. Media does move forward. And at the helm, we've got, Ashley. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And so let's just move right into, we've got a very thick morning here with everything that we're going to be covering, but I do need to tell you about the weather. It's currently 41 degrees. We are going to have a freeze watch in effect from February 23rd until February 25th. And it looks like we're going to have around 57 today. Overnight lows will be 33. 30% chance of showers today. Tomorrow calls for 30% chance of showers as well, with a high of 55 and overnight lows of 31. Wednesday calls for sunny with a high of 57 and overnight lows Thursday night of 60. Friday looks like 67 as well. And as we progress with the weekend, Saturday at 67. And Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high of 67. There's your weekly forecast. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Well, with us this morning, we have two very, very, very special guests with us. Susan Wilson, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, would you please introduce with a drum roll our very important guest.
I'm so excited to do that. So Larry Olmsted is, you've lived here about 5-6 years now, Larry, I think?
It's 6 years as of February 1st.
How good am I to remember this?
And Almost a local.
Yeah, I've known Larry for a really long time, longer than when he's lived here. You know, he has a long history in nonprofits, but the thing that he does here in Shasta County that's so important is he runs the United Way of Northern California.
Yes. Oh,
you know, which covers many, many counties.
Yes.
And does a whole lot of different stuff. They run 211. They've done a lot of work with the fire. They've launched a program that's similar to SCAR, Citizens Advocating Respect, called the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition. I'm a member there. But today we invited him here to talk really about Black history due to the fact that we're in Black History Month. And you brought an article that was in the Record Searchlight.
Right.
You know,
there's a whole page.
A whole section.
Yes.
A whole section. And I'm hoping that Larry really can help us put a picture on Black history. And I always, of course, like to focus on Shasta County, not the whole big wide world, but, you know, focus in on what are we doing here and also invite people to an event that he's going to be speaking at Shasta College.
Susan, we do have, before we begin with Larry, Carl is on a plane, before a plane, he's boarding. I know he wants to say hello.
Okay.
Let's put him on the phone. Good morning, Carl. You're live on the air. We're getting ready to go into Larry Olmsted.
Okay. Hey, good morning, and you know,
listened to a part of the last segment. It's nice. And Susan, hello.
Hi there,
Larry,
Carl.
Hello. Eric, stay away from my wife.
good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Eric. We're coming back 35 degrees, but I heard you say it's 40 there.
41.
And yeah, we had it down to 0 and 2 and 3, but weather's been good, and we're all looking forward to getting home.
Where are you?
Right now, we're 20 miles away from Chicago.
Oh, it's colder
yeah,
there.
It's at warp speed.
Yeah, yeah.
So Seth's driving, and the rest of us are cowering in the seats with our seatbelts on.
Well, okay, Carl. Thanks for the call. I'm glad that we can't wait for you to come back and be on the air tomorrow morning.
That's it? Okay.
Love you.
I love you, too. Have a great day.
All right. So I know he's been missing being on the air, and he really missed being here today so he could talk with Larry and...
We'll bring Larry back because he can talk about a lot of different things.
All right. So today,
Black History Month, you know, just an important thing, in our society. And we know, for example, that, people who identify as black in Shasta County, only 1.5% of our population. It's a very small group.
Right.
And I wanted to pay a little respect to that
Absolutely.
Group.
Absolutely.
During this month. And so I brought Larry because he knows a lot more than I do.
All right. Well, welcome, Larry.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. Real pleasure to be with both of you. Yeah, it's nice to hear Carl's voice, too. Yeah. I don't know if he was vacationing or what he was doing out there, but it's cold up in Chicago.
Yeah, he was in Madison, Wisconsin. He and a group of guys that went to, and there's a man that hosts this every year to do the pheasant hunting thing. And
oh, okay.
So there was a 4 or 5 day male bonding trip, and... they just enjoyed it, and they go and they have like fried cheese and Pabst Blue Ribbon, all everything from that area, you know. And anyway, so he missed seeing you, but he's been listening.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, Linda and Eric, I'm really pleased that and Susan, that Black History Month is being spotlighted because in American culture, I think. Regardless of the numbers, the African American, the black experience really has been an important cultural, you know, kind of center of discussion, center of pride at times a center of discontent. It's a big deal. And you think about, you know, the obvious icons like Jackie Robinson what that whole thing meant to America. I'm a big tennis fan, Arthur Ashe, and you start, you know, seeing people like that who symbolize a lot of things. And I think as time has gone on, the black experience also serves as a point of reference for how in America we treat all kinds of different people. And so you see the need for looking at the treatment of Asian Americans and Latinas and gender and you know, if you think about women not having the right to vote in our country for a long, long time, and then even now, I was just looking at some statistics. In our county, Shasta County, men of the same education level earn about 40% more than women.
Still.
In a lot of ways, the whole issue of how we treat blacks and how we treat African Americans and the ascent of African Americans also stands as a metaphor for how we treat others.
And what is a beautiful thing about you being here today, Larry, is that, okay, I'm seeing it. Okay, so here's a black man with 3 white people.
Uh-huh.
And you're the bridge. We need our bridges. Mm-hmm. We need to learn, discover, not be afraid to ask, try to understand, and try to appreciate what you were talking about. Let us in on what it was to and is
the black experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was talking with my wife last night about this show, and she said, "Are you going to be representing the whole black race?" and of course, you know, the and it's interesting because we're in a small community, yep. And I think I know at the event at Shasta College, Eddie McAllister is also going to be speaking, and yay. Eddie is such an important mm-hmm. citizen in our community. And I sometimes laugh because, you know, no, there are more black people in town than Eddie and Larry, you know, and definitely a lot of people who are outstanding citizens here. But to me, what matters as an African American is understanding that, there's always underlying when you're black, the knowledge that you are black. Okay, and that race fits in somewhere, not always in a negative way, but somewhere there is, and there's often reminders of that. At the same time, I think it's important for all Americans to understand that typically black people love America. Okay, and with whatever has occurred, whatever has occurred in the past, and you see it in the pride that black people take in serving their country, often as first responders or in the military. My dad certainly fought in Korea, was a Purple Heart recipient, got wounded. My brother served air traffic controller in the Air Force. He did a couple of stints there. So I think it's really important for folks to say, I know a lot of times for our Anglo population, our white population, it's like, there's discontent or there's conflict. No, black people love America. And, black people tend to just want it to be a little bit more equitable.
I like that. You know what? You're just bringing a positive, fabulous, you know, source here this morning. And we'll have, Larry here all morning. Did I just call you? Yeah. And Susan Wilson. And we'll be right back after these messages. We're celebrating Black History Month. And we're going to be talking about an event that's coming up this Thursday, February 24th. And some of the keynote speakers. Very thrilled to be here this morning on this President's Day. And we'll be right back after these messages with Eric Woodstrom, who's the senior commercial banker from Golden Valley Bank.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Nigel.
And James.
How are you doing, James?
I'm good.
Hey, you want to tell everybody who's going to be our guest on the next show?
We are going to have Donna Jamian and Matthew Giles, and we are going to be talking about the new technology sweeping the world, 3D printing for homes.
Homes.
Yep.
Here in Redding, too.
Yes, first in California, right here in Redding.
I can't wait. So listen to the show Wednesday evening, 6 to 7, Nigel and James.
All right.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
All right, welcome to our morning show here on this Monday. What a perfect way to start our day. Here we are celebrating Black History Month with our very own Larry Olmsted. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so great to be here.
And Susan Wilson, Shasta Citizens Advocating Respect.
Good morning.
And Eric Woodstrom, who is my good friend and also senior commercial banker at Golden Valley Bank.
Good morning.
And you went to high school together.
And we went to high school together.
Well, you know what? We did in the 70s, and we are a product of Sacramento, California, of our environment. And one of the questions I had for Larry, we're going to be covering a lot of things, but let's talk about Black History Month. You are going to be keynote speaker February 24th. We're talking about the history, and maybe sometimes you were saying, are we suppressing the history?
Well, yeah. Thank you, Linda. I'm actually going to be speaking at Shasta College on the 24th on Thursday. And, you know, one cool thing, this is an event sponsored by their Umoja group. And it's multicultural students brought together to really celebrate culture and to make sure folks at Shasta College, the student body, feels at home. And a guy named Jerry Brown runs this program, and it's they do a great job there. So just a shout out to them. The event is Thursday at the in Building 2000 on the Shasta campus at 6 o'clock. You know, one of the things that I think has been a disturbing trend in our country is that as the issue of you know, you hear all this stuff, critical race theory, and you hear all of this stuff about people upset over what people are learning. So in 25 states in the United States, that's half of the states, legislation has been introduced to try to tell teachers what they can teach and what they can't teach from a historical point of view. And a lot of it is aimed at suppressing learnings in history about Black people. A lot of this legislation is around the idea of don't teach anything that makes people feel guilty or hurts their feelings or presents only, you know, one side, the side that they don't like about Black history. And to me, this is so crazy. I worked in South Africa as a foreign correspondent back in the 1980s.
At wow.
Toward the end of the apartheid regime.
Man, that's a book.
Yeah, it probably is. I need to finish writing it.
Yeah.
but the one of the key parts of the apartheid regime was segregated education. So they teach black people certain stuff. They teach white people certain stuff. The schools, of course, they would spend five times more teaching white folks than black people. So disparity in the amount of money spent on education. And then they would be shocked that black people weren't rising up, even though they weren't teaching them anything, right? And one of the key things about that scenario was the whole distortion of reality in terms of history. White people founded South Africa kind of attitude, just like we have that attitude here that somehow, you know, Columbus discovered a country, a place that already was inhabited.
Conquered the land,
Right. So, and that was a key theme. And so I would hate to see that happen in our country where folks were suppressing learning, banning books, and fortunately California has not, and it's unlikely with the political makeup of our legislature that that's going to happen here. But throughout the South, and Eric, I think you were talking about the South earlier, throughout the South, this legislation has taken hold. And it's pretty scary. So, anybody who knows history knows you don't want to forget history, because then you are, of course, condemned to repeat it.
So what do you think about these statues? When they take down the statues
from the Civil War period?
They just, whether they're heroes or they're not heroes, they may have been somebody who was a historical figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they eradicate the statues and put up flowers, what's your feeling on that?
Well, my honest feeling is that, and I know I will be going against the grain on this, I actually think eradicating history is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a statue, first of all, most people in history who are important figures in history, there's good and bad.
Yeah.
There's some where the bad, take Hitler.
Bad. Totally
outweighs.
But exactly.
And we look at, you also want to judge people's conduct within the context of the times they live in, right?
Right.
There's the whole thing, Jefferson had slaves. Yes, Jefferson had slaves. But you have to look at it in the context of the time, not to forgive anything, just, But once you start eradicating history, you're taking, what I prefer to see is, okay, the thing is there, but let's use it as a learning experience.
Let's talk about
right?
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
And I'll give one example from South Africa. My first trip there, they took me to what they call the Voortrekker Monument. And it's, this huge monolithic thing, sitting between Johannesburg and Pretoria. And it's a monument to, white South African settlers basically defeating Zulus in war and taking over the country. So when black independence happened, Mandela was successful, all that sort of thing, they didn't blow up the Voortrekker Monument, although it would be hard to do it if you ever saw it. They said, let's turn this into something that is a cultural and educational experience, right? And I think that's a better way to go. I hate the idea of eradicating history.
That's music to my ears, because what it is what it is, and what it was is what it was. And to take it away is then basically nullifying it.
Keeping us from remembering.
Yeah, sweeping it under the rug and moving on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you're talking along those lines, which I think is very interesting, and we've got 8:27, so I'm looking at the time, is that, if you're a fan of TCM, Turner Broadcasting, the Turner movies, so historical movies. And there was one of the gals that, I love how they have four or five different people who are experts in film. Film noir is one person. And then they have a beautiful, I can't think of her name right now, and she represents a lot of the films that would be, films that were maybe directed, or Black History Month came up, and she talked about the movies of a particular time where there was blackface, and it went on to Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, all of these people, and the way that she explained it didn't make you feel like, she said, same thing you said, Larry, it was just a part of the times of how people did things, like in old Broadway and Al Jolson and stuff like that. And it's part of history of a time that would never happen today, but it was the movies of that time that did that kind of thing. So yeah. Thank you for helping us to feel like we're comfortable enough with you to talk about stuff like this.
Well, you know, the whole thing, and a lot of it goes back to, a lot of my life has been also serving as a diversity officer for a national company. And one of my mentors was a guy, his name's Tom Kochman, and he always loved to say, it doesn't matter who set the fire, let's just make sure we put it out, you know. I think, you know, so that you get this whole issue around what I'll call white guilt, let's say, okay? And the important thing is to acknowledge that the past occurred. And I think people of color, I'm not going to speak for all people of color, but most people of color, they don't want everybody who's, they know that, yeah, you didn't, weren't participating in the lynching, or, you know, it wasn't you who put the Japanese in the internment camp, or what, they know that. They don't, they're cool. But what they do want is, hey, are we acknowledging the past? Are we understanding that there are impacts of that? And are we contributing to a solution today? Okay, are we contributing to a solution today?
And that's a positive note. We do have to take a break on that. Are we contributing to a solution today? We do have a radio station, and we do have to take a hard break at 8:30. And this is really wonderful. And if you've got a question, you can put a call in. It's 605-4567. I'm here with Eric Woodstrom. We'll be right back with our fantastic guests. We got Larry and Susan with us this morning celebrating Black History Month. And we're talking, it's just going to be a lot of stuff I'm learning as well. Thank you, and we'll be right back after these messages.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
That I needed to be treated just like any other man. Skin
deep. All right, my producer here, Ashley, does slap her hand.
Getting your attention.
Because we're so, I love the morning here. We're just, we're having a great time here. Welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio, and you can listen always online at KCNR1460.com. This is Linda Bott, along with Eric Woodstrom, my co-host this morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Carl called in. He's about ready to get on a flight from Chicago to... I think they go to Denver. No. I think they have a couple stops. Then they get into Sacramento and then drive to Reading here at midnight tonight. But, yeah, but it was worth it for him. It was really good. So with us this morning, we have Larry Olmsted and Susan Wilson. And, Susan, you brought in Larry this morning. You're always Citizens Advocate and Respect. Mm-hmm. You always bring in the most interesting guests.
Thank you.
I look so forward to having who you've decided to...
bring for Black History Month.
Conjure up. And well, bring in the brew.
I one of the reasons that I was really interested in Larry is that he has such a full history of what has gone on. You know, he's traveled, he's been in other countries, he's run nonprofits, he's done a lot of different jobs. And I think that that gives him a view of the world that's a little bigger than what we generally do. And I'm hoping that he talks a little bit about, during the break we were talking about history and inclusive curriculum in schools, and how do we get to know, really, I mean, you all four of us sitting at this table, what the real history was, what people were thinking, why we went the way we went, and so on. So I'm hoping that he talks about that a little bit. What do you think, Larry?
Sure. First of all, again, thank you for having me on, and thanks for hosting this segment. I think it's a really important discussion in all communities, but in ours. Linda, you'd asked me about a little bit of my history, and just to tie it to a couple of things. I grew up in New York, and I had a very kind of middle class background. We didn't have a lot of money, but my parents, they were working and they did a great job raising us. I went to school at George Washington University. My roommate when I first got there, was a guy named Mark, and Mark was from, suburban Chicago. And Mark had gone to a high school that had one black person in the high school, right? and of course that guy was on the basketball team, the whole nine yards. And, Mark was the sweetest guy who knew nothing about the African American experience at all. And the first thing that occurred for us was that we went, thinking about joining a fraternity. And so we went to the frat parties and whatever they call those. And at one, at the time, this was in Washington, D.C., and there were protests going on in Washington at that point on the National Mall. And I think it was Resurrection City, and they had all kinds of black people in tents protesting various things. And at this party we were at, one of the guys said, referred to those people using the N-word.
Ooh.
In front of just drinking beer. Oh, yeah. Those N-words, yeah. You know, on the mall kind of thing. And I was like, whoa.
Well, yeah.
and there was a black dude, the only black dude in the fraternity said, yeah, those guys are N-words. So this is the black guy saying. So I was like, oh my God, you know. So that was the end of me trying to be
part of that fraternity, yeah.
But Mark ended up joining the fraternity, and he ended up setting himself as the person who was going to kind of raise consciousness.
Oh.
So I had a book, speaking of black history, I had a book in my, I was reading of Dick Gregory, who is one of the a famous black actor and activist and author. Mark read that book, and he became fixated on Dick Gregory. He actually started traveling to see Dick Gregory speak. This is while we're still in college. So between then and the time he was a senior, he had this huge transformation as someone who was what we would call today woke, you know?
Yeah.
So the point is that, you start interacting, you start getting educated, you start learning more, and it's just a very critical thing. So you look in our society, I didn't know until I was way an adult that the level of, for instance, 4,000 Americans lynched over like a 70-year span in America, often brutally, more than 70% of those folks black, but not all blacks. Just that history alone, I read about Custer, but I didn't read about massacres of Indians.
Yeah, and that could have been just from walking down the street and nobody wanted a black man to be on the street.
Oh yeah.
I mean, who knows? It's not just because it wasn't for committing a crime.
No. Yeah, we looked the wrong way at somebody.
Right.
Spoke insolently, whatever. And the point is that this is the tie here. It's not, yes, 72% of those lynched were black, but it wasn't just black folks. And what happens, and I think Dr. King or Mandela, people like that speak well to this, when you're involved in a situation where there's oppression or subjugation, everybody becomes a victim, including the people who are doing the oppressing. And Dr. King was very eloquent in saying, hey, many whites in our country, he said at the time, are allies. Because they understand that their future is linked to ours, you know. And in the I Have a Dream speech, the line that I always bring chills is when he lists what the America he wants it to be, and the race issue, and he basically says, if America is going to be a great place, a great country, it needs to address this. Not if it's going to be great for blacks. But if it's going to be a great country.
Place, right. Great country, yep.
So
to raise our families and
right,
yeah. So that is so it becomes an important issue, and of course all the hey, remember what Hidden Figures? I don't know if you all saw that movie.
Oh yes, more than once.
Yeah. Again, that's great history for all Americans
to
know.
Couldn't go to the bathroom. I had to leave and go into another.
Right.
Like, couldn't go use the bat. I mean, that to me is the standout.
Right.
Not only were they geniuses, but, and women, and having to deal with, like, well, what do you mean? First of all,
I love that movie.
I do too, and I watched this the other day.
Yeah.
One thing Larry doesn't know is we had Mike Freeman in here just recently talking about indigenous people. And their history, especially locally, and what all is going on. You know, so you just add another layer to this whole thing. The whole way that we as people look at people who are different than us, you know, really.
Absolutely. I think in our county, and certainly as we do our work at United Way, that is the critical ethnic type of issue for us to get our arms around and to deal with understanding and appreciating the what our indigenous cultures have brought, and also understanding the history, and it's a difficult history. And okay, how do we grapple with that history? And knowing that sometimes it's just not easy to pull people together, but we've got to make that effort.
And sometimes we hear things that just alarm us, you know, and we don't even want to believe that those things existed ever.
I love a story about your college roommate, Mark. What is he doing today? Is he still with us?
You know, it's funny. I have lost touch with him, but I did look up on LinkedIn, and he's still alive. I can tell you that.
I was, you know, curious what he's doing with his, like, almost like he had his own personal little movement that happened.
Epiphany, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he, you know, what he's doing with that today and what he thinks about the state of affairs and, you know, all of that stuff too, because I love, you don't know what you don't know. And then when your world opens up, it's just, it kind of, you know, kind of rocks what maybe you thought it was at a particular point, or you realize that maybe you grew up with some prejudices around you and you don't know that. And, so anyway, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll be right back after these messages here on KCNR 1460. I haven't even done a lot of my live reads. Oh, my gosh, Cypress Square Barbershop. We did Quick and Clean. Let's see, who else do we have? We want to talk about your business? Go ahead. Golden Valley.
Golden Valley Bank.
Yeah.
We're at 250 Hartnell. We are one of the few remaining community banks. We've had a bunch of mergers recently in the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to serve the business and personal needs of the community.
All right.
And very involved in the community in a lot of different ways.
And give Eric a call at?
215-2009, area code 530.
All right, there you go. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria, and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. Yeah. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Thank you and welcome back to our program here this morning, celebrating Black History Month with our special guest, Larry Olmsted. Good morning. He's the president and CEO of United Way of Northern California and the keynote speaker for Black History Month celebrating at Shasta College this February 24th. Tell us a little bit about what that evening looks like.
Yeah, well, they have me lined up as a keynote speaker, but frankly, I'm very interested in hearing Eddie McAllister, who has just been such an important citizen here, Citizen of the Year in Reading a couple of years ago. He's done so much work in terms of community mobilization and service, and so many of us rely on him. But it'll be a great evening. It's free to the public. They're going to have refreshments there, and looking forward to it very much. So,
and we had Eddie McAllister last month for MLK Day.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't get up early in the morning, so we had to get a day that he had to get up early in the morning to get on the show.
But I thought you might have just taped it and then, put it on.
So what brings you, Larry, to Reading? 6 years ago, you became a resident.
Oh, thank you for asking. You know, I was working for United Way in San Jose, California, and the opportunity came for me to think about leading a United Way as a CEO. And there were three CEO openings in the state at the time, Fresno, Riverside, and here. And I happen to know a little bit about Reading, partly because I knew Susan through our work with 211 and my predecessor, Wendy Zanatelli, who now runs the Smart Center. And I realized at the end of the day that Reading was the perfect place for United Way to do its work, because there certainly are needs here, but it's also a community where people are willing and interested in rolling up their sleeves and getting involved. And Eric, you were talking about your bank and the business community, and again a really good example of folks who we have found lots of people here who want to get involved and help.
And so you chose Reading.
Absolutely.
You had three places.
Yeah, well, this is a better situation, as it turned out, than the other two. And the funny thing is that the two women who were hired to run those other two have done an awesome job. They have really lifted their United Ways. So it's a good example of hopefully people hiring for the right fit at the right time.
Exactly, exactly. Okay.
So, Larry, could you talk a little bit about the SEJC and what got you involved with that and got that started? That's the Shasta Equal Justice Coalition.
Okay.
Which is similar to SCAR in its direction.
Yeah, you know, after George Floyd's death and murder, or whatever you want to call it, it's just a total national tragedy. And one of the things United Way did in conjunction with many, including SCAR, was pull together a group of community leaders for a Zoom call, because we're, you know, that's where we are, to really talk about the issue of race in our community, and particularly police and law enforcement and their interactions. And a group of people after that wanted to stick with that conversation. So that group has begun meeting, and really for the last year and a half, it's almost every two weeks, coming together. And the whole idea is, how can we create trust, better trust between the community and law enforcement? And my own personal goal is, we do not want to see a George Floyd incident happen in Shasta County. And if one does happen, we want the lines of communication between the community and law enforcement to be strong, so that we don't have the kind of, you know, rioting or violence, or we want to be able to have that kind of communication and dialogue. So out of all that, the Equal Justice Coalition was born. It's been to me, a kind of a slow path, because I'm an impatient kind of guy. But, hey, our website's just about ready. What we've really been doing is opening up lines of communication with the district attorney, with the Reading Police Chief Shuler, with the we've had conversations with both of the sheriffs who have been in office since we started this, Sheriff Johnson now, with the probation officer, Neil, with just to make sure that these lines are open. And I feel like that they are. And SCAR, meanwhile, has been doing an awesome job of talking to Chief Shuler about basically interaction and accountability with our civilian population. So a lot of good dialogue going on, more to come. And it's, I think you're going to hear a lot more about SCJC in terms of events and, you know, creating opportunities for that sort of thing.
I think this is a really interesting topic because, you know, when we talk about culture, we think race, always race. But the police have a certain culture. They have a certain way they do business, a certain brotherhood. You know, it's not unlike the military brotherhood that you come up with.
Or the banking brotherhood.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that it's really interesting that we put some emphasis on this locally.
Yeah. And, you know, Susan, to your point, the key issues for SCJC aren't strictly about race. One of the most critical issues is when police approach people who are having a mental kind of situation, right? They often, you don't really need a cop with a gun there, or you maybe you do, but they need to be accompanied by mental health specialists, right? Because a lot of these folks, a lot of the violent kind of confrontations you see with police are because, hey, I'm encountering somebody who's acting out, but what are the tools that I have to deal with it? Sometimes, you know, you just have to respond in a violent way. So what now our police department and sheriff's office are subscribing to the idea of, let's go out, Shasta County providing some mental health specialists, let's go out with them on some of these calls so that the mental health specialists can defuse the situation. That's the kind of thing that is important to SCJC. We think that police are moving in the right direction on that. Another issue might be body cams, which is a real...
The funding was approved the other day, Thursday, I believe
It's in the budget.
It's in the budget for the coming years to have body cams on police officers.
Huge accountability piece, and you know, a lot of the issues that you're seeing coming to light in terms of how police are dealing with, whether it's African Americans or others, are coming to light because there's video. But it also helps police because now they have an evidence track.
Everything's in the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kinds of issues important to SCJC. You know, one thing before we leave the conversation, we mentioned history. My career started as a newspaper reporter, and I started it in Baltimore for the Sun papers. I worked for the evening paper there. And on Friday, the Sun published a 4,000-word editorial that basically said, you know, since 1837, when we were started, we have not done right by black people. And they went on to detail advocacy for segregation, advocacy for segregated neighborhoods, attacks on black political figures that were unwarranted or unfair or wrong. A whole list. And at the Sun, and I know this, up to the 60s, every black person whose name happened to appear in the paper, their racial identity was attached to it. It would be Larry Olmsted, comma, Negro, comma.
What?
Yeah.
So I was among, they didn't really hire, Baltimore, of course, majority black city, it has been for a while. They didn't really hire too many black folk. I was in that first wave. I started there late 70s. I was in that first wave of black reporters that they did hire. And my experience was, all of our editors were white. But they were good. And they were real advocates of continuing to integrate our newsroom. But yeah, that's the kind of thing. So the point is, again, an understanding that history matters and a willingness to address it.
And listen. And be right. Open to it.
Right. Larry, it's so great to hear that story. Yes. I love learning new things about you.
Right.
That's just great.
Well, I want to thank you for coming today and being our guest, and Susan Wilson for putting this together, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, and my wonderful co-host, Eric Woodstrom. Thank you once again.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
Always love it. You're great. You give me, give me strength and encourage me. And thank you, Ashley, for being at the helm. It is President's Day, and joy for all of those of you that have a day off. It's a beautiful day outside. Make it a great day.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Regional Medic.